Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful for the opportunity to chat with you. These are the times in which God has decided we will live. And as you've heard me say, we have unique responsibilities. One of our, because of the time in which we live, one of our responsibilities is to be the people who ask uncomfortable questions. Because the Seattle Media 5 and now the Seattle Media 5.5, including in this the social justice publication that's sometimes called the Tacoma News Tribune, they're not going to ask uncomfortable questions. They think they're asking uncomfortable questions. They think they're doing brave journalism. But there's a series of three articles that one of the writers on Twitter, one of the writers said on Twitter. Her name is Allison Needles. She's very excited about the series that she put out. A note from me and Stacia Glenn about a project we spent months working on that was published today related to use of force by police in Tacoma. So apparently this is, it's a three-part series about use of force by police in Tacoma, and it doesn't ask one single uncomfortable question. And early on in the piece, it utterly disqualifies itself. Early on in the piece, it gives itself away as the conclusion has been reached. Now they just have to get to the point where they can color it up with numbers. They had their conclusion, in my judgment. They knew what they wanted this story to say. And so they didn't ask a single uncomfortable question. That's because it may be in Tacoma. All apologies to people who live in Tacoma. And if you're outside the area, you may not get the joke. It always had the aroma of Tacoma, but this one, oh, don't get any on you. It smells like Seattle spirit.
The problem is you got some people out there who are fanning these conspiracy claims from the planet Pluto.
Does anybody know where Mars is? Where's Mars? I don't know either, but it's above
us. We need to turn the world over to this generation as quickly as we can.
So I saw this on Twitter from Allison Needles, and I hate doing this. I hate it. I don't know Allison Needles. I don't know her age. I assume that she thinks this is really, really good work. Well, no, I don't assume. She's obviously communicated on Twitter. She thinks this is important work that they've done. It's three really long articles about use of force by the Tacoma Police Force. And I got, let's see how many paragraphs into this. This is the first article. I got one, two, three, four paragraphs in when I understood what this was all about. I had my suspicions, but then I got here. Shayna Raphael, a member of the Community Police Advisory Committee, said the relationship, talking about the relationship between communities that the left calls minority communities, is strained with cops, especially after Manuel Ellis was killed by police restraining him and an officer drove through a crowd after being surrounded by a group that gathered to watch cars do donuts in a downtown intersection. He didn't drive through a crowd. He escaped a crowd that had smashed the back window to his police car. And members of that crowd were saying, pull him out. It wasn't just people doing donuts downtown. They are connected to a gang that has a long-term commitment to hating cops. At that point, this story is disqualified. So they go through a lot of numbers in this, and they in the like fourth or fifth paragraph, they get to George Floyd. Use of force by police garnered national attention last year after George Floyd, a black man, yes, we know, died May 25 when a white police officer placed a knee on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. His death ignited protests across the country, including in Tacoma. There's absolutely no proof of racism in that death. None. It's a horrible video to watch. It is bone-chilling. You're watching a man die for some reason, we were forced to wait until after the peaceful riots burned down American cities to learn that George Floyd, unfortunately, had probably overdosed, probably on fentanyl, had overdosed, to learn that the autopsy indicated his windpipe wasn't crushed, his neck wasn't bruised. The officer, we learned later, did as he was trained to do. George Floyd, with a long history of abusing his body with drugs, was in a state called excited delirium and probably died from that. And in all likelihood, the cops could have done nothing to save him. That's not in this piece. But it is, George Floyd is at the top of this piece because this piece is an emotional piece. They go through a lot of numbers, but it is all emotionalism. For instance, they talk about black residents in Tacoma making up 11% of the city's population of 217,000 people, but they're 38% of the use of force encounters in a five-year span. They compare that to white people. 65% of Tacoma's population accounted for 48% of the use of force encounters. Here's the uncomfortable question. Do black people more often attack cops? Do they more often resist arrest? Are they more often armed when they're confronted by police? That's the uncomfortable question Allison Needles, I can't find in the piece. Do black people commit more crimes? Are black people involved in more violent crimes? Are black people involved in more domestic violence incidents? Now, in Tacoma, I don't know. I'll look that up. We can have this discussion. Are there issues within the community? Within the black community that may lead to some of these things. For instance, fatherless homes. One indicator that someone is headed for tough times and one indicator of what leads people into prison and detention are fatherless homes. And you can go way back to when our beautiful, loving government decided in welfare to offer it to black families so long as there was no father in the household. You could read a book called Please Stop Helping Us by Jason Riley, a black man who grew up tough, worked his way up to the Wall Street Journal editorial board. He's on Fox News. He goes through a lot of statistics about the more welfare programs there were, the worse off black families became. The more affirmative action programs there were, the less business ownership there was of black families, of black people. He'll go through a comparison that black immigrants to the United States, recent immigrants who do not identify themselves as black, but as African or Nigerian, they do better in a couple of generations, in a single generation than people who've lived in the country and identify as black. Why is that? Because we're less racist, white people, against folks from Nigeria than we are from folks who are black and live in Tacoma, Washington? See, these are the uncomfortable questions that this story doesn't ask. This story is all pretends to be about investigating use of force. But if you're not willing to pull in, say, an academic like Heather McDonald, who has studied this stuff at Scope, not just in Tacoma, and not for three stories, but for a series of books and reports, where she points out that black cops are more likely to pull a gun on and shoot black suspects than are white cops. Now, why would that be? Well, there's some theories. Black cops more often patrol black neighborhoods. That's a theory. Black officers are aware that in lots of cities, black suspects are more likely to be violent than are suspects who are white. Now, none of this means, not a drop of this means black people are violent. It doesn't mean that. It means there's a problem with some communities that we cannot fix until we name. And continuing this soft bigotry of low expectations that people who are black and live in inner cities simply can't follow the rules is nonsense. Black people are smart and as talented and as creative and as loving, and they're as loved by God the Creator as any white person. But when organizations like the Tacoma News continue to spew stuff like this in pseudo-academic prose without asking a single tough question, because there's no price to be paid in the Pacific Northwest for criticizing cops. There's no price to be paid for something like this. There's not a single brave question, not a single brave exploration in these three pieces from the Tacoma News Tribune. But I guarantee they've already submitted this for journalism awards. They didn't even get to the why. Who, what, where, when? Oh, we think it's racism. That's not the only thing we're going to fact check. CNN. I know. I said CNN and fact checking together. I know that's funny. CNN pretended to fact check Rand Paul's conversation with the man that Joe Biden has nominated to control half of the government's assault on health care in the United States. We'll get to that after a quick glance at traffic. So CNN sent an intern. They sent an intern, a fact checker named Aaron Millman, to go fact check Rand Paul's questioning of the man that Joe Biden's dementia wants to put in charge of ruining the rest of America's healthcare system. This man named Rachel Levin, this doctor who's a failed public health official. Oh, he's utterly failed. He was in Pennsylvania, which was utterly failed. They destroyed. Well, just remember this. This guy, Levin, Dr. Levin, pulled his mother out of a long-term care center at the same time as he was forcing long-term care centers to take in COVID-positive patients. Got that? He took his mom out. He put your mom in. We got that. This is the guy who's obsessed with giving street kids cross-sex hormones, because that's clearly why they're on the street. So here is Airman's, this young guy, Aaron Millman, his fact check of Rand Paul. Paul talked at length about the ills of genital mutilation, saying it is recognized internationally as a violation of international human rights, and drew a comparison between that and gender confirmation surgeries. Gender, we're told, is not biological. How then can there be a gender-confirming surgery, asks your humble narrator. Back to quoting this intern. Paul claims that most genital mutilation is not typically performed by force, but, as the World Health Organization notes, by social convention. He then argues that American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Facts first, this is this kid from CNN. Paul's analogy relies on a misunderstanding of gender affirmation treatments and misinformation from non-credible sources. In making his comparison, Paul draws on data from the American College of Pediatricians, a group that many health experts believe is on the wrong side of a number of controversial topics, especially the issue of gender conversion therapy. Okay, let's start backwards. This intern for CNN is describing what you and I are doing now as controversial. Dangerous. You and I are having a conversation. He describes a situation where your son comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I really think I want to drop out of school. I don't belong in school. I think it's prison. I hate it. I don't want to do it. This is not me. I am not meant for school. I'm meant to be a world roamer with no school. Your job is to say, yes, son, that's right. Because anything else is conversion. Anything else is dangerous. This is a fact check. See, because this is what he's talking about when he pretends there's such a thing as gender conversion therapy. This young man is so completely hypnotized It's painful to discuss. The facts of chromosomes, of DNA, of the resulting genitalia, of hip height, bone density, fast twitch muscle fiber, lean muscle, lung size, heart size, none of these things matter to these people who have been hypnotized by the cult of pretend caring. So he pretends that a therapist speaking with a client, asking questions like, why do you feel this way? That's gender conversion. But he pretends in the same piece that only irresponsible doctors like the American College of Pediatricians thinks it's a bad idea to cut a kid's genitals apart because they're not comfortable with their bodies. This is at a news entity. I invite anyone to explain to me the difference between CNN and Big Pharma. Find me the daylight between CNN and Big Pharma. Find me the daylight between CNN and the sexual left. Find it for me. And this young kid with CNN, he says one group of doctors is irresponsible. Why? Because they have irresponsible views. What are they? That talking to kids is not dangerous. Got it. Another group of doctors has perfectly responsible ideas. What are their ideas? It's a good idea to cut the testicles and penis off of a 11-year-old kid and build a fake vagina on his body because he's uncomfortable with his body because puberty is hard for kids. In the era in which we live, we've got to stop. I mean, I don't want to stop being nice. I don't want to do that. We are to be nice. Part of being nice is being honest. If we can't be honest with the ones we love, we don't love them. If you're just there to tell your kid, yes, 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 whatever you want, you may love them in your heart, but you are not employing love. Because yes, 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 whatever you want can end up in very bad things for kids because kids want a lot of things. In the Cultural Revolution, everything has to be burned down. This is what we're struggling with. This is why I'm going to tell these truths. Let me give you another example of this. You think this isn't coming here. You think this isn't coming to your family. You think this is about gender. You think this is about the sexual life. Folks, this is about breaking you. This is about making you the crazy ones by making crazy the baseline in the world. All of a sudden, anyone who stands with what is the blatant, objective, inarguable truth, you're going to be pushed to the outside. This is happening in Canada. There are activists and women in a prison, Kirchner Prison. They're protesting. You know what they're protesting? Some of the most high-profile killers, pedophiles and rapists who are men, shockingly, who are now in prison with women. If you had a reality TV show, imagine a reality TV show called My Night with a Rapist. Imagine, no, do it this way. My Night with Rapists. If there was a reality TV show tonight on, no, it would be like this. Tonight on A Night with a Rapist, Rachel is 18 years old. She signed up for reality TV, but what she doesn't know is the four men who are living with her in a remote Alaska cabin are violent rapists and pedophiles. Will Rachel be raped tonight on A Night with Rapists? That's going on in prisons. Because these men who are devious have caught on. Wow. In the great cultural revolution, crazy people are promoted. These men are pedophiles and rapists. That's the, if they're not crazy, they're demented. If they're not demented, they're acting on evil. Dear people, we must be the ones who speak truth and ask the uncomfortable questions. I beg you to get good at doing this. I beg you to begin it today. If we don't do it, the people who are driving this will succeed in making us appear to be the nutty people. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Oh, I know I speak for Alex when I say we appreciate you listening to the show and the podcast and sharing it with friends. Coming up, we'll get to just a few more things. Jane Fonda is back. Why wouldn't Jane Fonda be back? It's the Cultural Revolution, only this side, her side, is winning. So, of course, she's going to be back crowing about this. They're going to put another version of her so-called anti-war documentary. Interesting perspective to be anti-war when you went to go visit the enemy of the United States and their soldiers who were actually fighting a war and had actually attacked their neighboring country. Just it's a strange position to have, that you're pro-war when it's the other side but not America. So that'll be coming up in just a few more things. There are a lot of listeners to this program. And I'll be on later on EIB filling in on behalf of our friend who has passed on, Rush Limbaugh, and a lot of listeners to Rush's show who are as demoralized as I've ever seen GOP voters and feel that voting might be useless. And I will fight against giving up on this country until God folds me. But I will tell you, the H.R. 1, which is laughably called the For the People Act, it's at least going to be this. It's going to be a test of whether we have elections. I'm not kidding. It's also going to be a test as to whether we have a Supreme Court. And John Roberts is hopelessly corrupt in his decision-making. I'm not saying he has been bribed or that he's compromised. His decision-making is irrevocably corrupt. So I don't have any I don't have any confidence in the court to recognize what's coming in this so-called election reform act. It's also going to determine whether we have any actual Republicans. Particularly in the state AG's, attorney general's office. If we have Republicans in any position for a state attorney general, they will fight this. They will sue the second this thing passes. The problem is that this so-called law determines that they have to sue in the District Court of Washington, D.C., which will just simply refuse to hear the case. That all the cases have to be rolled into one. I want to get into some of the details. The Epoch Times, who should actually call themselves the Epoch Times or Epoch Times, because that's how it's spelled, has done a brilliant job of laying out, and it's long. It's a really long piece about what's in this legislation. If this becomes a so-called law, then I don't know what I'll tell you other than we have to sue it out of existence. It can't be left to stand or there's no elections. So let's start with what is in this ridiculous piece of elections or of legislation. It seizes state elections by the federal government. So the Democrats will control every state election, even though the Constitution gives the states authority to run their elections as they see fit through their legislatures, by the way, not Georgia, through the state attorney or the state secretary of state, not Philadelphia through your Secretary of State, not Wayne County through the county voting commissions. So one of the reasons I'm cynical about this is the so-called Supreme Court already let states break that law. That aspect of the Constitution. In this case, this is a full-on seizure of that. That the Democrats are pretending the Constitution says they can do this. Now, one of the reasons I'm cynical about this is because John Roberts pretends Washington, D.C. is a state. He did that the second time. He pretended Obamacare was constitutional. The other thing it does, and I mentioned this earlier, it limits a plaintiff's access to federal courts. So you could be in district, federal courts are laid out into districts. You could be in the third district, you know, federal district court, but nope, you can't file there. You have to go to Washington, D.C. You don't have standing in Washington, D.C. You're not from a region that's in Washington, D.C., but you have to go to Washington, D.C. to get a hearing. And what we know, because we watched it with the General Flynn drama. Those are corrupt courts with corrupt judges. Now, I'm sure there are some good judges in there. And maybe we have a recourse. Maybe it's to pray for redemption. Maybe it's to pray for wisdom. Maybe it's to pray for the spirit of truth to fall upon the people who sit on the Supreme Court to stop, to side with a lawsuit saying, no, we're not in the district court of D.C. We're in a different federal district. We get to use our district court, our federal districts. The other thing this would do, mandate automatic voter registration in all 50 states. The Democrats pretend this is modernizing elections. How many states do illegal immigrants get driver's licenses? Any university, any social service agency, any place you touch the government, you get registered to vote. Now, if you don't want to vote, or let's say that you're an honest person, I've had emails like this from people. They're honest people. They're immigrants to the country. They're not. It's illegal for them to vote, so they won't do it. So they may get a ballot in the mail, but they're not going to use it. What did we learn? You flood the system with ballots, there's going to be illegal votes. We know there were illegal votes. Just a reminder as we look at this. Do you know the Cloward-Piven strategy? I'm not supposed to mention this. No, I mean, I've never heard that from management of the radio station, but for instance, if I was doing a hit on Fox News and I was to mention Cloward-Piven, I might get the same hook that Newt Gingrich got for talking about George Soros. Cloward-Piven was a technique to destroy America that was created by two professors. I only remember one person's name, Frances Fox Piven. The reason I remember her name is because she's the author of Motor Voter. The theory of Cloward-Piven is to flood America's systems in order to take the systems down. Flood the prisons with prisoners. Now they've switched that around. They're flooding the cities with prisoners. They're flooding the cities with drug addicts. They're flooding the cities with cartels. In this case, they flood the system with votes. It's impossible to keep up with this number of votes. It also mandates same day in online voter registration. It mandates no fault absentee ballots. You just, if you want an absentee ballot, you get one. It prevents officials from removing ineligible voters from registries or confirming the eligibility of qualification to voters. It makes it illegal to verify the address of registered voters. It makes it illegal to cross-check voter registration lists to find individuals who are in multiple states. Or even removing registration no matter how much time has elapsed. It makes it illegal to cleanse the voter rolls. So here's a note to any Republican Attorney General. You are an American or you're not. It's pass or fail. You sue this thing and you refuse to go to the district court in D.C. or you're not an American. Sorry. You're not a Republican, and that's who cares? Honestly, you're not an American if you do not sue on this. If this becomes law of the land, I don't know what I'm going to tell you. I truly don't. I know it'll involve prayer. I know it'll involve prayer. Maybe we should pray right now for wisdom, maybe for some strength, maybe for the Holy Spirit's strength amongst these so-called Republican state AGs. Folks, this is one of those moments. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. And without much ado, maybe a little ado. Alex, can we afford some ado? It's just a cool word. Without further ado, I want some ado. But when you actually employ that, is it do or still ado? I don't know. I don't speak the French. Let's get into just a few more things. Let the big voice say it. He says it so much better than I do. Big voice? Exactly right. Now, just a few more things is a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and sequentially ordered list, thereby inserting order into a world that's being driven into a chaotic mess. One day, we may bring back, we used to do quizzes on the Todd Herman Show when we first started. We would call listeners and we would quiz them and have them introduce a segment of the show, like just a few more things. Like when I took my CrossFit exam, they ask you this, and it's really funny because at the end of this, you've learned all this stuff. Your brain's full of anatomy and movements and metabolic systems and energy systems and how this or that movement connects to another. And the instructor said, "What is CrossFit?" Which is the first thing we're all supposed to know. yeah. Now I can't. And now all of a sudden I can't say it. I can't say it. I actually forgot what CrossFit is. I can't believe this. See, this happened to me during my test. No, it's very elegant. It has a very elegant description. It's a broad range of functional movements performed at high intensity. That's it. That's basically it. I didn't get the exact part right. It's a broad range of functional movements performed at high intensity. It's not. It's, dang it. Now I'm going to go look this up. Any case, it's not a CrossFit show. It's the Todd Herman Show. So I would ask, we'd call people and say, what is just a few more things? It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and sequentially ordered list. Man, maybe I should be a just a few more things instructor instead of a CrossFit one. Let's get started. Big voice, which number are we on? Exactly. This is a comedian, Stephen Colbert. Sometimes he says, it's crazy. He will sometimes say the F word. It's so funny when comedians say that. It's just because you think, wow, he cursed. Man, that's funny. So Stephen Colbert here talking with Jane Fonda. And here's Colbert kissing up to Jane Fonda. Yeah, and nothing says, let's be honest, nothing says a career spent in pursuit of social justice like, you know, supporting communists who are connected with the Khmer Rouge, who murdered college professors and teachers and such because they knew things. That's a whole lot of justice from Jane Fonda. Not to mention the fact that they're talking about her documentary, which is being re-released, FTA. It stands for blank the army. That's some social justice. Big voice, what number are we on? See, says it better. If I say thing two, it doesn't sound as cool. This is MSNBC. And one of their overly mechanical hosts here talking to Obama's former CDC director, Tom Friedman. Incidentally, just a fun fact, Tom Friedman has gotten absolutely richer because of the lockdowns. He pretends to teach people how to, quote, safely lock down. Or I shouldn't say quote, but how to safely lock down. Listen to this question. So bottom, they're in the bottom 10 as far as vaccinations go, and well, in the bottom 10 in terms of deaths as well. That's Texas had 1/10 the rate of death as New York, and this clown on MSNBC is talking about taking funding away from Texas. They work in New York. The emperor of New York got people killed by forcing long-term care facilities and hospital or, and long-term care facilities and nursing homes to take in COVID-positive patients. But yeah, let's pull the funding from Texas and Florida that did it right, and Mississippi. Yeah. Next up, and just a few more things. Okay, this is some high-quality Kafka trapping. I learned that from our friends at Phrase, from our friends at Safe Seattle on Facebook. So they described it really well. Kafka trapping is a deluxe version of gaslighting. So gaslighting is designed to make people crazy. Kafka traps are when you make people angry by making them crazy, and then you turn around and go, man, you must be really sick because you're really angry. Listen to this. This is, what's her name? Reed, the Joy Reid lady. So, if we're clear, Joy Reid is pretending that it's us who are just obsessed with Mr. Potato Head. That's not us. We were leaving Mr. Potato Head alone because it's a plastic potato that wears glasses and bow ties, and you can change the way he looks. That's not us. But you see how she's using this to turn this around, that we're the ones doing the theater. It's a plastic potato that leftists have pressured into becoming Potato Head versus Mr. Potato Head. They did that. What's next, Big Voice? See, that was number four. Next up in just a few more things. So this is Circle Back Psaki. So she is the spokesliar for Joe Biden's dementia. And she's asked a question about there being a crisis at the border. Listen to the specific way Circle Back circles around the question. So if you caught the implications of that, they're more than happy to talk to people, Republicans, who want to do what they want to do. And when she says digging out of the dismantled and inhumane immigration approach of the last administration, she means replicating it, like to a T, except for the part about anybody can come in for any reason at any time, and even if they test positive for the COVID flu, be released in the country to do whatever they want. That's the new part that they've added to this, an asterisk. You know, it's I don't want to say it's a Cloward Piven thing, because, I mean, that would be madness. No one who works for the left would want to destroy America. Next up, and just a few more things. So this is Circle Back again. Circle Back Psaki. We call her that because she can't stop saying, let me circle back to you on that. Although she's got herself to stop doing that because she didn't call him about this. But listen to her. She has another vocal tick because she's lying. Her job is to lie. And so she has to put the lies together in her head. So this time she's using the vocal crutch. Well, first, she used it in the last clip. She's using it here. And here she is pretending Joe Biden isn't in a basement practicing the reading of the State of the Union speech with what is probably someone in his ear reminding him what to say. Yeah, that's very convincing, Circle Back. We're all just super convinced that the reason that Joe Biden's dementia has not presented a State of the Union address is, wait, oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, there's a flu. There's a flu. It's the cases are down and the country's probably reached herd immunity. But, you know, you can't give a speech when people are getting a flu. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.